Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Is giving your spare change on the street the best way to help D.C.'s homeless? Probably not. This week, a gargantuan effort to help the homeless in the district get a fresh start gets underway. On Thursday, every resource that a person might need will be available to the district's homeless population. It's called Project Homeless Connect. And joining me to talk about this is Rosie Allen Herring. She is president and CEO of the United Way of the National Capital Area. If you have questions about this effort and what the United Way is attempting to do again this year to help D.C.'s homeless population, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Hey, Rosie, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Good, good. So before we even talk about this effort, let's talk about who the targets are and why the United Way believes that this is a worthwhile effort now for the fourth year.
Sure. Project Homeless Connect is really just an opportunity to be able to connect those who may be at risk of becoming homeless and those who are experiencing homelessness with the ability to connect to resources that really help shape and lead them to sustainability. We find homelessness is not just who you typically think it is. It's not the veterans living under the bridge that we perhaps thought or those stereotypes that were out there. Homelessness could be literally your neighbor, your colleague, your coworker. There are children that are homeless that people don't realize who may go to five different schools in one academic year. And so when you think about homelessness, it really is about the face of who we are as a community. And it means that much to your United Way, because at the end of the day, our job is to build thriving communities. And the only way we can do that is through partners, as well as with the community writ large. And so Project Homeless Connect is something that we feel strongly about, so much so that we've continued to do it, and it's continued to grow year after year.
And how does it work?
Well, Project Homeless Connect is a one-day resource fair where, again, we bring those who are either at risk or experiencing homelessness into a large setting where there are a myriad of services that are being provided to them. But what I love about Project Homeless Connect is not just one big open fair, again, that you sort of kind of just go in and meander through and sort of kind of just try to find your way. What's unique about Project Homeless Connect is for every person that comes, there is a volunteer that they are paired with. They have a buddy, and that buddy stays with them the entire time that they are there. For the dignity of those who may be experiencing homelessness, the last thing you want to do is be passed off. And so what we ensure is that that volunteer stays with you for every service that you may need. They literally go with you hand in hand to ensure that you get what you need, to ensure that there is no break in the service, and to ensure that that person walks away at least feeling as though they were cared for and that they received what they came to get.
And this is happening on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Give me kind of the logistics for the where and the what and all of that for Thursday.
Sure. Project Homeless Connect for the District of Columbia will be this Thursday, September 20th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and we're at the D.C. Armory, which is located on East Capitol Street and Northeast. And we are looking forward to probably serving over 800 individuals. And so, again, we certainly look for volunteers. We certainly look for contributions to support this effort. But it is an all-day effort where we are there. In fact, part of my team is there now, ensuring that over the next day and a half, that we have everything ready so that literally when those doors open Thursday morning, we are ready to start serving.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about Project Homeless Connect. This is an effort that WHUR is actually partnering with the United Way of the National Capital Area, trying to provide services for the homeless population here in the District of Columbia. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Rosie, I mentioned that this is not a new venture. Where did this idea come from?
Project Homeless Connect really originated back in about 2004, and it was started back in San Francisco. And what we found is, you know, over the years, it's been replicated in over 300 cities across the country. And so it's a great model that really and truly, I think, serves as a bridge for those who may be at risk or experiencing homelessness to those services, much needed services, that sometimes makes the difference between a person staying connected, initially becoming disconnected, or being able to be brought back into the fold. And so we didn't start it here, but we've been doing it now. We're in our fourth year and we believe in that concept. We believe that it works and we've seen, great success.
Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, or asked earlier, how does it work? Because you said you're expecting 800 people or so. That means a total of 1,600 if you're talking about a buddy for every person. Mm-hmm. So how do you work that out? And are you prepared for 899 or 1,200 or 1,300, because the district does have a really serious homelessness issue?
Well, the Washington metropolitan area has a homeless challenge for sure. Your United Way is here. We are committed, and I have the privilege of serving with a phenomenal group of professionals who take this quite seriously. So we are prepared for the 800, and if it turns out to be 899, we will be prepared for that as well, because we believe very strongly in this work, and we believe that you can indeed make a difference. And if we have to double up, triple up, we'll do what we have to do in order to make sure that every person who seeks services gets what they deserve and what they need.
Mm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tracy, calling from Southwest D.C. Thanks for calling, Tracy. What's on your mind?
Oh, I just have an issue right now because I'm almost homeless. And I want to know what the United Way can do to stop people from being homeless. Can you help? Can you assist? And it was no fault to me.
Sure. Well, it's certainly, you know, sounds a little challenging to hear what you're going through. But yes, there are resources and your United Way is here to try our best to help you connect to those resources. You mentioned being almost homeless, which means you're probably somewhere, hopefully, where you have an opportunity to lay your head. What I would suggest is if you'd like to come out and see us on Thursday, fine. If not, you can go to our website. We'll try our best to connect you to city services, depending on where you are. If you're in the District of Columbia, there are a myriad of city services that are brought to you by, you know, the Department of Employment Services, Department of Human Services.
There is no help.
Well, all I want to do is be able to encourage you and connect you as best we can to the services that we are aware of that we believe can be hopefully helpful to you. Without understanding and knowing specifically your particular situation, I think it certainly would warrant an offline conversation just to understand more specifically what you're going through and how we can try to help you.
Okay. Tracy, that is at the D.C. Armory from 10 to 4 on Thursday. That's just 2 days away. And so certainly there may be some resources there or some answers that you haven't been able to get previously. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for giving us a call, and certainly good luck to you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Brian, calling from Lanham. Thanks for calling, Brian. What's on your mind? Brian, are you there? Give us a call back if you can, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. James, calling. I guess we, gosh, did we lose James? Give us a call back if you can at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the things that, and I think Tracy put a very fine point on it. She said she's almost homeless, and there are stereotypes. There are also kind of historical foundations as to what we might expect from homelessness in any large city. But the reality is that there are the stereotypes, and then there's those that break those stereotypes, the working poor.
Absolutely.
Talk to me about that.
There is a great number of individuals who literally could be sitting in the cubicle or in the office next to you that are at risk for becoming homeless. When we think of homelessness, again, as I shared at the offset, most people think of homelessness as veterans who lived under the bridge. That's just not true. And because here in the Washington metropolitan area, we are in a very high cost area where it takes quite a bit to be able to really and truly support your family and sometimes just support yourself. While there are higher earning jobs that are here, not everyone is able to take advantage of that. And so when you look at what we have available to us in this region, high cost housing is just one of the major challenges that I think distinguishes us perhaps from some other markets. And so when we look at homelessness and those who may be at risk, which is why I use that term, just because you are in a physical building doesn't mean that you are not at risk for becoming homeless. We have a lot of individuals who are couch surfing. They go from friend to friend. And these are people who get up and go to work every day. When we think about a lot of our children, again, you don't think about children being homeless, but some of our children are switching and couch surfing with their parents and are going to five different schools in one particular academic year. That is traumatic for anyone, and we can't expect our children or professionals or adults to be able to succeed when they have that level of instability. So being homeless is something that can happen to any of us at any given moment. None of us are immune from it. And so it's not just, again, those misnomers and stereotypes that have been out there. Homelessness is very real. And it is, I think, an opportunity for us to come together as a community to try to bring a solution to the table around something that is so near and dear to so many families.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. James, calling from D.C. James, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. I'm experiencing homelessness, and I'm actually living in my car. And one of the problems I find that keeps me stagnated is that employment. I see the housing here in Washington constantly going up, and I see that people are constantly selling and moving. And I just, you know, I just need assistance where I could get back on my feet and get back to work so I can provide a place of stable living for myself.
Go ahead, Rosie. And you, well, I've got about a minute or so.
Sure.
Please go right ahead.
Mr. James, I certainly hope that we can see you on Thursday at the Armory in terms of being able to connect you to the Department of Employment Services here in the District of Columbia, who is one of our partners that will be on site with us. Again, what I think makes Project Homeless Connect unique is we don't literally pass you around to just get a bag and put things in a bag. We literally want you to talk with people who can make a difference with youth today. We will have individuals and other nonprofit partners who are there with us to help you, be it looking at your resume, helping you craft a resume, sending you off with that resume and a number of copies, teaching you a little bit how to share, looking at what's available in the employment services curriculum. We want to talk to you about living in your car. We want to be able to share through the Department of Housing what types of temporary shelter that may be available to you. Again, it's just a myriad of services that will be available, not just around housing in terms of brick and mortar, putting a roof over your head, but also additional services from health-related services to connecting you to vital records, if you will, dental, podiatry, you name it, we generally are going to have a partner there to provide it literally on site for you. So we hope, I hope to be able to see you and meet you on Thursday, Mr. James.
James, thank you so much, and certainly good luck to you on Thursday. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. If you are on the phone, do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program, and we're going to take your phone calls in just a bit after I take a short break. That includes Ted calling from D.C. Ted, you're going to be next. Please stay with us as we continue this conversation about Project Homeless Connect, a huge effort to address some of the issues of homelessness here in the District of Columbia. It's going to be at the D.C. Armory from 10 to 4 on Thursday. You definitely want to show up if you are in need of help. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of your phone calls at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 2, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're discussing Project Homeless Connect, providing services and support for a new start for D.C.'s homeless population. My guest is Rosie Allen Herring. She is president and CEO of the United Way of the National Capital Area. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ted, calling from D.C. Thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind, Ted?
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a quick question about what she would suggest about cleaning up for interviews, because my issue was, you know, the usual situation, laid off, looked for a lot of resources, applied to probably over 500 jobs, definitely had some callbacks, but over the time I just, you know, things just started to lose piece by piece, you know, lost the home, vehicle, and such. So ended up homeless, basically. But the problem is, the thing is, I do get interviews. The problem is I can't clean up for those interviews. Like, I can't find a location. Like, let's say for cleaning up in general, you know, I go to wherever I can find rest stops and things like that just to look, you know, just to keep my hygiene up, but to actually look presentable, throwing on a suit, things like that, so where people can't tell that I'm homeless. What would she suggest for things like that, or something like that? Because I actually have an interview like in 2 days, and then I had an on the phone interview this afternoon. So what would she suggest for things like that, or something like that?
Sure. And Ted, we certainly wish you well on your upcoming interview, and I'm going to claim success for you.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to make it because of that. You get what I'm saying? Well, like, I can't get clean. I have no mirror. Like, I basically, like, sneak to wash in places when I go grab something to eat and stuff like that. But I have no mirror to really look presentable. I can't, you know, iron my clothes and things like that. You get it?
I understand. And so if you have an opportunity to come and see us before your interview on Thursday, one of the services that also are offered during Project Homeless Connect are grooming services. We will have barbers there. We will have, you know, you're able to get haircuts. You're going to be able to get some medical services as well, to ensure that we connect you also to some emergency, rental services so that you may have, the ability to be able to connect with some temporary housing. Again, this is a bridge program in terms of being able to connect you with those services that hopefully will be able to help you at every stage as you're going through the challenge, but also see you through on the other side. So when you talk about the grooming, it is something that is very, very critical, because most, if you really don't have a place that you can call your own, having the ability to be able to go and be well groomed will indeed make a difference. So we will have those services for both men and women who will be with us, and so many of our partners are volunteering, offering their services. We do have great sponsors who are making certain that these services are available to you. But come out hopefully on Thursday, and maybe we can catch you before your interview, where we'll be able to support you in that light. And then try to also point you at the end of the day to some of those services that you'll need, even beyond next Thursday.
Ted, good luck to you.
Absolutely.
I mean it. Good luck to you. I have a feeling that it's going to happen. So, definitely keep your head up. And if you have an opportunity to show up at the Armory on Thursday, I appreciate your phone call. Let's go to Roger. Roger calling on the line. Roger, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay, hello, good evening. First of all, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And secondly, to Miss Rosie, thank you so much. I think one of the biggest problems is that people not knowing about the resources that are available.
Mm-hmm.
I've been navigating through homelessness for over 12 years, and I was fortunate enough to be able to be into a subsidized room now, which is great. But what I'm saying is that for many years, being on the housing list. And so my question is that people that are connected already through government services and things aren't moving like the list that they have. Are there going to be people there that can, kind of push you to that next level to get you there? Cause, it's many issues as to why people become homeless, drug addiction, loss of job, domestic violence. I mean, there's many reasons, but it seems like you just can't get through that next level. The things are there, but it's like nothing moves forward. So my question again is there going to be people there that can actually effectively get to the next level of trying to get you into somewhere,
Well, we certainly hope so, Mr. Roger, and I thank you, too, for just sharing your story of how you've been able to navigate, and then also to get to the point of having some stability being in your subsidized unit now. We will have some of our partners there from the city that we hope will be able to help bridge the gap again for those who may be at risk, but also to talk about one of the successes we have is a young lady, this is now about 2 years ago, who came for services. And we talk about that long waiting list for having the opportunity to have some subsidized or supportive housing. And I can tell you, it was a shock to her that her number had come up. But of course, the city could not find her because she didn't have a fixed address. And the level of joy that all of us felt knowing that we had made that connection was phenomenal for us. And so we know that for many who we hope don't lose hope, having the opportunity to make that connection, find out if anything is different than perhaps it was at the time that you went on the list. Are there updates that are needed? How to find out and how to be able to connect with an individual that you can ensure you can check back with, even if you can't get it done that day. What we want to make certain is that everyone who comes has an opportunity to be not only connected to the services, but also feel as though their community cares for them, because at United Way, we absolutely do.
Roger, thank you so much for your phone call, and certainly good luck to you. Let me go to Ann. Ann calling from Virginia. Ann, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I simply wanted to find out if someone wants to volunteer to help out the United Way on Thursday, is that possible? I'm not homeless, praise God, but I am definitely interested in helping out. And also, my second question is, if someone is a real estate investor and they have a property, say, to donate that's in good condition for someone or, anyone who may be homeless, is that possible?
Well, there are a couple of things. To answer your first question in terms of volunteering, you absolutely can volunteer, and we would love to have you come join us. If you'd like to, you can go to volunteer.unitedwaynca for nationalcapitalarea.org, And you can also just go to UnitedWayNCA.org, and you have an opportunity to click on volunteerism, and you'll have an opportunity to be able to share your information with us for Project Homeless Connect. If by chance it's last minute and you're able to show up on Thursday, our team will work with you to ensure that you're appropriately trained, because this is something that we take very seriously in terms of being able to engage with those who may be coming and will be our guest that day. We want to ensure that everyone is treated with the dignity that they deserve. We want to make certain that everyone is with someone who's been knowledgeable about the services that are being offered, and of course someone who's going to exercise great patience to understand the level of frustration that an individual may have, how to make certain that we are able to keep them encouraged, but also to be willing to go with them and stay as long as it takes for them to be able to get the services that they deserve. And so, volunteers, we are welcoming you. We need you, because the community really and truly needs us, and we look forward to working with you. So thank you so much for being willing to share that and allowing me to share that opportunity. Now, you also asked about for many of the real estate investors, and real estate is my background, if there's a person who would like to share their resource with someone who may be in need, then that's a connection that we're willing to try to make as well. Many of the real estate investors also can connect with the city, with the Department of Housing and Community Development, or the Department, D.C. Department of Housing, the Housing Authority, around how they're able to connect those dots as well. And so, again, for many who are in need, there are the resources there. You know, I'm sure they're finite, and we don't always feel like they're there for us, but we have to do our best to be able to connect the dots. So that's what we're looking to do on Thursday. So thank you so much.
And thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Helen calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Helen. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm calling because some people make themselves homeless. I have a family member who's paying for a car instead of paying rent and gets thrown out from place to place to place and has a job and gets a humongous child support check. How could she go around being homeless, thrown out from place to place? Hmm. You know, that's an issue.
Well, thank you, Ms. Helen. And I think that we all recognize, as adults, when we make decisions, not everyone makes the same ones or ones that we consider to be responsible. And at the end of the day, for us, while we don't look to make a judgment as to why someone may be in a particular situation at any given moment, I think we all recognize that, that we've made, you know, decisions, or we make decisions, that will have that kind of longstanding impact. In this particular instance, as you've shared with the person that you know, they've made some priority assessments about how and what, you know, matters to them, a car versus having, their own place. But I come from a place of, you know, you really and truly want to make certain that the basics are taken care of first before you get to the luxuries. And so it may sound a little rational, but to someone who disagrees and perhaps takes a different stance, they may not quite understand that. So I don't believe that people make themselves homeless, because not everyone has control over every situation that yields homelessness at every turn. But I do believe that we do exercise personal responsibility as best we can, and we should all continue to try to do that to ensure that we remain stable.
But I think that Helen brings mm-hmm. up a good point, which goes to this laundry list of services mm-hmm. that are going to be available on Thursday. And one of them, because I was looking down this list, and there is a piece here that talks about financial education. Mm-hmm. And I think while I agree, like you said, no one wants to be homeless. No one makes themselves homeless. But there are decisions and Absolutely. Circumstances, financial decisions that they may make. It could be bad investments.
Absolutely.
It could be a decision to, you know, try to put your child in, you know, in a better school, in a better community. That community may be more expensive, and then you lose your job, and then you're trying to keep the car. So I think go ahead, Helen.
I purchased a home for this individual.
Well,
so
I think
I wouldn't be pushed around from place to place.
And let me say, and I think that's the point that Rosie mm-hmm. was making. the decision-making process when it comes to handling our finances isn't always pristine. And then we, and we've spoken about this on this show quite a bit, during the mortgage crisis.
Absolutely.
Because what happened was people bit off more than they could chew, and then the mortgage crisis bit back.
Exactly.
And that put, unfortunately, that put not just people in the D.C. metro, but that put millions of Americans in dire straits and in some cases on the streets. And so certainly, you know, that conversation about financial education and making decisions and the like can make a difference between a place to stay and not. But thank you so much, Helen, for bringing that up. And we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are discussing Project Homeless Connect, providing resources and support for a new start for D.C.'s homeless population. I'm sitting with Rosie Allen Herring, President and CEO of the United Way of the National Capital Area. We are partnering with them on Thursday for this event at the D.C. Armory from 10 to 4. There are literally dozens of services, resources, and support being offered for free on Thursday, even some things that you may not even necessarily think about, but these are what they call the wraparound services, everything that any person would need to get a new start. If you have a question or if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Denise, calling from Northwest DC. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. First of all, and I thank you, thank your guests for and the United Way for putting this in place. I was also wondering though, for the young man who indicated that I believe his job interview is Thursday, mm-hmm. is there not something more immediate that he could take advantage of tomorrow, so that he can be prepared for Thursday? I know you said come Thursday and we can help you, but I was just hoping that there would be something more immediate. And the second question I had was, is there any partnership with the D.C. Department of Human Services who does, you know, which is the entity that does deal with sheltering for homeless families and singles?
So, yes, to the second question, yes, the Department of Human Services is our partner, and they will be on site on Thursday as well with regards to, again, being able to make that connection, offering the ability for individuals to get vital records. You know, a lot of times people can't take advantage of certain services because they don't have the appropriate ID. They don't have their birth certificate. They don't have their Social Security card. They're able to take advantage of services to be able to get those things right on the spot. Now, you asked about the young man, and I believe it was Ted who talked to us earlier about his upcoming interview. Certainly, if he's able to call one of the participating shelters who may be able to take him in, independent of September 20th and Project Homeless Connect, there are a myriad of services that are available that we hope he may be able to take advantage of. There are a lot of immediate or temporary emergency services that hopefully he can take advantage of to be able to be prepared. But if by chance he can't, we wanted him to know that the opportunity certainly would be available to him on Thursday. I'm not certain if he had taken advantage or had reached out for those services or even knew how to. But certainly if he calls the 211 here in the District of Columbia or even calls our offices, we will do our absolute best to connect him even tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Denise, thank you so much for your thoughtful question.
Absolutely.
And we appreciate your phone call. We really, I have about 10 minutes or so, but I've only kind of skimmed the surface of all of the services that are going to be provided. And as I said, we're talking about dozens of services, but you've been doing this now for 4 years. From your perspective, how has this event changed from 4 years ago? What has been added? What has been taken away? What have you learned from this process?
We have learned quite a bit. And let me tell you, Harold, again, every day, I have the privilege of working with a group of professionals who are absolutely phenomenal at what they do in terms of being able to care for this community. They are the consummate professionals in not only bringing the subject matter expertise to the table. Your United Way, while, you know, considered a nonprofit, brings to bear some of the best talent that you would find literally in this country. And we're fortunate to have them bring their talents to United Way. When we started Project Homeless Connect literally 4 years ago, we were at Central Union Mission right here by Union Station. And many of our shelter partners were able to bring in individuals and we were able to serve them. I will tell you the things that we've learned along the way, I think the team led by Timothy Johnson, our Vice President for Community Impact, and Kelly Brinkley, our Chief Operating Officer, have taken those learnings literally every year and built on them. And so we've gone from serving about 260 individuals our first year at Central Union Mission. Our second year we were there, we went probably over 300. Last year we were at the Kennedy Recreation Center just up the street on 7th Street, and we served over 400 individuals. But the first year, we learned how critical the health services were. We had four individuals who literally left Project Homeless Connect in ambulances that day, where many of the physicians told us had they not come in and been checked out, their life would not have continued. We came to understand not only medical, general medical services, but dental services. Podiatry is such a huge, huge medical service that's being provided.
Why is podiatry so important?
It is so important because so many of our partners and community members who may be on the street on a day-to-day basis may be without some of the things that we consider basic. And so without being able to, you know, care for themselves from a hygiene perspective, generally I've learned your feet are some of the you know, those are some of the things that actually tell about your health. If there is something that is, you know, dealing with your circular system, your vascular system, generally you're going to find out sometimes from your feet. And most of those who went, and we generally have someone who leaves us in an ambulance every year, generally starts from that podiatrist. And so, again, we've continued to expand the services because we wanted to connect not only the health, but also to the city services. When we talked about the vital records of being able to not have to now get on three buses to get to this particular city service, only to find that I needed something that I didn't bring with me, and then I just don't go back. And then people are disconnected yet again. And so by having that on site, someone being able to do that, I don't have to take my children with me. I don't have to worry about, you know, the barriers that are there. Then we thought about workforce for someone like many of the callers who have called today who are quite, you know, able and obviously willing to work in some capacity here in this region. Then we need to connect them to the employers who are willing to see them and meet them where they are and help them get to where they are to realize their where they need to be to realize their greatest potential. We just need someone to be able to talk to them and help them understand what is your skill set. If you think that you don't have skills, then let's talk to someone who's a little bit experienced in being able to help you shape what you know into something that could be transferable as a viable skill set. When we talk about, again, youth services, we talk about everything from acupuncture. We talk about voter registration. Again, we talk about behavioral health, which is huge in this day and age. And so it's not just, you know, come in and let us find somewhere for you to go. We really care about you, and we want to know what you need in order to feel like you are a viable member of our society, because collectively it belongs to all of us.
You mentioned voter registration. I was going to ask about that, because voter registration is always based on where you live. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have a place to live, how do you register to vote?
Well, then one of the things that we work with the District of Columbia is to ensure that many of the citizens who are here, who come for those services, are able to be placed in stable environments, or at least they can acknowledge where they are so that the city can find them if they're looking for them. If you are in the District of Columbia and you are laying, you know, you're laying your head here, be it, you know, couch surfing or the ability to be in temporary housing, you are considered a resident of the District of Columbia. with all the rights and privileges of anyone else who has a million-dollar home here. And so we want people to understand that just because you're homeless or you may be experiencing or at risk of it, or you may be living with a cousin because the house is not yours, it does not mean that you're disenfranchised from the rights that you have as a citizen here in the District of Columbia.
As you know, homelessness is an extremely complex and in some cases a complicated situation. Let us, for the sake of this question, set aside mental health issues. Mm-hmm. Let us set aside chronic health issues that can be debilitating and look at a set of people who at least have high school education, some of them college educations, and a skill set. What is it that is keeping them from being on, from homelessness? What is it that's keeping them on the street or couch surfing? If they don't have all of those things that some people may consider disqualifiers, mm-hmm. What is the thing that they're missing?
I think that when we really look at the homeless population and many of our you know, brothers and sisters and cousins and the like who are in this situation, you know, it generally starts with some type of crisis, you know, because you just don't, you know, very few people are born homeless and literally remain homeless throughout their life. There's usually some circumstance that has brought people to this point. And at United Way, we believe that we are here to bring not only the services, but we also want to be able to bring encouragement and hope. And so when we look at, and to your point, stepping away from behavioral health mm-hmm. services, which we know is real, you know, behavioral health, mental health is very real. We want to recognize that there are any number of reasons why people may be experiencing homelessness. And we're not here to pass judgment because there, but, you know, by the grace of God go I. But it is an opportunity for us to understand what some of those underlying factors are that generally lead to homelessness. And I will tell you the number one factor is usually the job. Mm-hmm. You lose your job. You lose everything that job supported. And that's everything from your health care generally, to not only, you know, whether or not you have a mortgage or whether or not you're renting. You have, again, the ability for being able to take advantage of other services that you typically would have paid for. So it generally starts with a job. But I don't want to say that that's the only reason why people experience homelessness, but it's one of the major reasons why. And so, again, what we have at the United Way team, many of our professionals who are bringing these services to bear, people like Sheila Summershaker, who comes from an economic background that understand all of those other indicators, and they're able to give us the data of how people end up in this particular situation to know how we can help them. If we can't bring a solution that's going to be viable to the table, then that means we didn't listen to the community, and what we bring won't necessarily help.
I think that's a good place to end this conversation. The Project Homeless Connect at the D.C. Armory on Thursday, starting at 10 a.m. Get there early, because I'm sure the earlier you get there, the more you can access the resources and the support. 10 to 4 at the D.C. Armory. We will also be there during the course of the day. So, Rosie Allen Herring, thank you so much, and good luck to you and United Way on Thursday.
Thank you so much to you and to all of your listeners. We really value the partnership.
Thank you so much. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM for this Tuesday, September 18th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.